Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help. You save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
Hello and welcome to Why This Movie, a podcast about our favorite movies and why we love them so much. My name is Christopher Allen Maloney. If you're enjoying our podcast, there are a couple things you can do to help us reach more people, reach more listeners. If you have a movie you'd like to talk to me about, you can email me at christopherallenmaloney@gmail.com. And if you're liking the show at all, you can leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify or anywhere you listen to podcasts. You can tell a friend or family member that they should check it out. If you don't like the show, you can tell an enemy that they should check it out. Same thing, it doesn't matter. Today, I'm speaking with Beth Condon, a lifelong Massachusetts resident, and she so happens to be my kid's grandmother. Hi, Biggie, how are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm fine. Do you mind if I call you Biggie?
No, that's what your kids call me, so that's fine.
Okay. All right, good. First of all, why don't you tell me what movie we're going to talk about today?
Oh, sure. We're going to talk about Remember the Titans.
You smiling. Why are you smiling?
Football's fun.
You think football is fun?
Yes. No.
No?
Certain. It was fun.
Not anymore, though, is it? Is it?
No, not by
now. No, it's not fun anymore. Not even a little bit.
Zero fun, sir.
All right.
Coach Boone's school board made the decision to put you on my staff. I did not hire you.
Well, I came up here to coach it.
I didn't ask to be assigned to your staff, so I guess we're both in a situation we don't want to be in.
Guys, if they keep on playing like that, we'll lose every game.
But I can guarantee you this, Coach. I come to win.
We will be perfect in every aspect of the game.
Get up, boy! Get up! Get up! Get up!
You're still weak on the left side.
We're not weak on the left side.
It's not the problem.
What is the problem?
I don't need you up on my face all the
time. I don't care if you like each other or not, but you will respect each other.
I want you to tell me something about one of your teammates.
I'm rooming with Blue, sir. He wears those leopard-spotted underwears, bikini style, sir.
Okay, maybe somebody who's not your roommate. Each one of you will spend time every day with a different teammate.
Does the term cruel and unusual punishment mean anything to you?
If you lose a game, they'll fire you.
One game, just like that.
Brother, don't you know me and your mama went out on the town last night?
What did you say? What happened to you?
Man, I just gave your mama a piggyback ride and she weighs twice as much as I do.
What's going on?
We wanted to let you know we was going to warm up a little different tonight.
We are the Tigers, mighty, mighty Tigers.
We want to let these people know who's going to win state, right?
Right.
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 Right. Right.
Greek mythology, the Titans were greater even than the gods.
We're going to change the way we run.
They ruled their universe with absolute power.
We're going to change the way we block.
Football field out there tonight, that's our universe.
We're gonna change the way we win.
We don't let anything, nothing, come between us.
We are team.
Twenty-five years ago, Disney released Remember the Titans, starring Denzel Washington as real-life high school football coach Herman Boone. In 1971, Coach Boone is assigned to a football team in Alexandria, Virginia, amid rising racial tensions from school desegregation. When Boone is named head coach, replacing the popular and white Bill Yost, played by Will Patton, the white athletes pledge to boycott the team and are nowhere to be found at the first team meeting.
Play some ball, y'all! Black inside, black inside, black inside.
Hey, yo, P-Day, how many yards you figure you're gonna get this season, bruh?
You know, I ain't wanna brag, Big Blue, but I figure on at least 1,000. But I didn't want to brag.
Yeah. Hey, didn't I tell you all them white boys won't go play for no brother?
Well, who needs them, baby? From now on, the Titans is going to be powered by soul power, bruh. He said a soul power.
Shut up.
We leave for camp. Gettysburg College, August 15th, 7:29 a.m. If you report at 7:30, you will not be playing football this season. You will be watching. You will wear a jacket, shirt, and tie. If you don't have one, buy one. Can't afford one, then borrow one from your old man. If you don't have an old man, then find a drunk, trade him for his. Because I can guarantee you there isn't a bum on the street that looks as raggedy and ridiculous as what I'm looking at right now.
Not wanting any of the white players to lose their scholarships, Coach Yost remains with the team as the defensive coordinator, agreeing to work under Coach Boone as they oversee the team become integrated for the first time.
You challenged my authority in front of the entire football team, Coach. Now, you think you're doing these boys a favor, taking them aside every time I come down on them, protecting them from Big Bad Boone. You're cutting my legs from under me.
Some of the boys just don't respond well to public criticism. I tell them what they need to know, but I don't humiliate them in front of the team.
Which boys you talking about? Which ones you talking about? I come down on Bertier, I don't see you coddle him. Come down on Sunshine, don't see you grab his hand, take him off to the side. Which boys you talking about? Now, I may be a mean cuss, but I'm the same mean cuss with everybody out there on that football field. The world don't give a damn about how sensitive these kids are, especially the young black kids. He ain't doing these kids a favor by patronizing them.
Coach Boone decides to take the team to Gettysburg for preseason training.
All right, listen up. You will follow Doc, myself, and the other coaches. We're going to take a little run through the woods. If you get lost along the way, don't bother coming back to camp. Just hitchhike your hind parts on home. Any questions?
Coach, it's a high school football team. We're not the Marines here.
Let's go.
Let's go.
As everyone knows, not even racial tension can survive a good running montage. They end up at the famous battlefield where a row of headstones are silhouetted in the rising sun.
50,000 men died right here on this field, fighting. The same fight that we're still fighting amongst ourselves today. This green field right here, painted red, bubbling with the blood of young boys. Smoke. And hot lead.
This is where the movie gets its power. From speeches by Coach Boone that only an actor of Denzel Washington's caliber can deliver without having it dismissed as cornball or sentimental. It is sentimental, but he makes us believe in it.
My family. You listen. You take a lesson from the dead. If we don't come together right now, on this hollow ground, we too will be destroyed.
The team returns from training to start the football season with a new understanding and acceptance of one another. Right before their first game, Coach Boone is informed by the school board that if the team loses a single game this season, he will be fired. Fortunately, this doesn't come up, and the team cruises through an undefeated season. That is, until the team receives unfair treatment from the referees at the semifinals.
Hey, Mr. Fisher. Mr. Fisher, can I talk to you for a second?
Back off, coach, if you want to stay in this game.
I've got holding on 78 white.
What are you... Are you trying to cheat my boys out the game? 15 more yards.
Listen, let them play, ref. Let them play.
reasonable. Let them play. Let the boys play. Cheetah.
Coach, come on.
Cheetah.
I won't say exactly how things turn out, but there is some very real tragedy alongside the team's triumphs before all is said and done. Remember the Titans received mixed reviews, but was very successful at the box office and continues to be well regarded as a solid sports movie. Denzel Washington's performance especially is well remembered, and it's one for which he received an Oscar nomination. Most of the conversations that I have are the movies that people choose are usually things that they've seen either as kids or in the early stages of their lives, and it's something that they've sort of grown up with or lived with for a long time. But this movie came out only 25 years ago, so how old would you have been then?
Gosh, I can't do math. I know it was for one of my daughter Amy's birthdays, so I'm 63 now, so.
Mm-hmm. So 38.
Yep.
Okay, so that's about my age. It's hard for me to think that there are some movies that will mean so much to me that I haven't even seen yet and haven't even been made yet. So what was it like for you to see something that impacted you so much as an adult?
It was a movie that I came away with just blown away, because I picked it really because it was a good football movie. But the message was about friendship. It was about race. It was about relationships. Just left that movie in awe. I think I saw it again by myself after I saw it at that birthday party. And then I've watched it probably once a year, maybe, since then.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so you've seen it probably about 25 times.
Probably.
Okay. What do you think it is about sports movies that kind of allow for other things to slip in there too? Because like you said, it kind of uses the construct of football, but it's not really about football, so to speak.
That's true. It is not about football. It's actually based on a true story of a high school that had to be integrated in the 70s. The thing about sports movies that do that is that you're going to get a diverse group of people coming to watch that movie simply because it's about sports. And sports movies will get different people in to maybe a love story or a relationship story because, oh, there's some good hitting or great soccer or whatever it is.
Did you go to the movies a lot as a kid?
I did not.
When did you start? Well, because I think of your family as kind of, you almost have a currency of movie quotes and movie references.
Yes. For a long time, we didn't have really cable TV in the house. So all we watched was movies on video cassettes. That was when you could pick a movie that you wanted and go home and watch whatever they had available.
Do you miss that, by the way?
Yes, sometimes I do. I think we even have a VHS player still at the house that we picked up, but we haven't really used it.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I think with streaming platforms, it's almost like I think people are maybe watching movies less frequently or not as mindfully, because there's so much oversaturation with what you can choose that you end up getting overwhelmed and just watching like a show that you've seen 100 times. But what I liked about the video store when I was a kid was that it was like, here's your finite group of choices. Just make one of those choices and then you've got your night planned.
Yes, that was it. And going to the actual movies for a very long time was so expensive. You just couldn't do it. And when you have kids, again, you pay for a babysitter, you have to go to a movie. It was too much. Now they have discounts to get you to go into the movies, so it's more affordable now. But the VHS was a way to watch what you wanted with a limited amount when you wanted.
This movie takes place in 1971. And you grew up in the 70s, right?
Yes.
So I know that, I mean, obviously you didn't grow up in the South. This movie takes place in Virginia, but can you remember any kind of racial tension in and around the Boston area?
Yes, I remember seeing on the news, we weren't in Boston, but there was, Boston was a very racially charged environment because they were bringing in busing. Kids from Southie especially did not want people from other parts of the city coming in. And there were demonstrations and there was some violence.
All I want is a seat in this school. Hey, nothing else. Let us go to our neighborhoods where our kids are safe. We want our kids safe. We want our children safe. In my neighborhood, if I told you, we'd shoot you one night.
They were throwing eggs at the window and trying to hit people with them.
And there was stone, and like we was in school, there was stone glass at black people and little kids.
What school was this again?
The Roger Clapps.
Are you going back to school tomorrow?
No. No way.
You mentioned that you used to be a football fanatic.
Yes.
And I take it that you're not anymore.
I am not. I am not a fanatic anymore. I have mended my ways.
Can you talk about what, we'll start with like what football used to mean to you, how important it used to be?
It was a sense of belonging. This was my team. The New England Patriots was my team. I had been a follower of the Patriots for years from the 70s. It was just what you did on Sunday. You went to church, you came home, you watched football. And as I became more and more a Patriots fan with children, we would go to church, come home, and then watch football till 8 o'clock at night. That's just what I did. And I was very involved. I knew the plays. I knew the coaches. I knew the defense. I was fanatic.
What has happened to make you not a fanatic anymore?
I saw that football itself was being run by rich white men.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting paid a lot of money to watch mostly men of color bash their heads in and end up with brain damage later on in life. I also saw that the stands were filled with rich white people and it was not affordable to go to games, at least not in New England, where we were Super Bowl champions many times. But I also just decided it wasn't worth my time to watch this. I could be reading, I could be outside, I could be enjoying relationships. And that's why I let go of it.
So I won't say what my day job is, but as you know, I work for a nonprofit with underserved youth. And there was one year where we had this event where money was being raised to help the program keep operating. And so there were a lot of like wealthier donors there who were contributing. And what kept coming up was, well, we hope this wraps up soon because we have football tickets. They were more than one were going to like box seats to see the Patriots. And that was kind of eye-opening for me because they were, you know, they were there, they were donating money to a good cause for these kids who kind of rely on it. But at the same time, it better not interfere with their plans to watch the football game.
Right. Which if they're having box seats, truthfully, they're barely watching the game. I've been in. They're schmoozing up there.
Right.
I don't like those seats.
Yeah. And these were all rich white people who were complaining.
Mm-hmm. And you can't complain because they're giving to your charity.
I think that there are, I mean, I think football means different things to different people, but I know guys especially who wouldn't really feel comfortable expressing emotions, generally speaking, but they can watch football and literally be crying because of how the game is going. Like be so upset or so sad that their team is losing that there are like tears in their eyes.
Because it's such a sense of belonging. This is my team. This is my struggle, when in reality, it's not. And it got worse. Fantasy football came into play and gambling came into play where people didn't have as much loyalty to their team. It was, I have to watch this game because this individual player is on my team and I have to keep track of how many points he gets.
Do you think that football or really, well, I guess football most of all, do you think it's a way to sort of keep people occupied and distract them from bigger issues?
I'm not sure. Because don't get me wrong, I still do like football. I'm just not a fanatic.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that football gives you a sense of belonging. It gives, as younger kids, a sense of accomplishment. We work together to get this thing. And it is a distraction in a lot of ways. It was for me. But it also is, hey, give me this. Give me this one thing. I work hard all week. I'm just going to go crazy on Sundays.
Yeah.
So there's that.
So Remember the Titans, it's something that you watch every year. What are some things that you have noticed or have stood out to you after watching it like 10 times or 15 times?
The way that the relationships between kind of the outside players react, like the main character's girlfriend, the coach's families. As I watch it, those things become more prominent and their reactions to the stuff that's going on. I notice those more when I'm watching a movie. And also now, because the movie is 25 years old, you notice, he's in this now, or he's in that now. You're sitting there with IMDb looking up the actors.
Right. Is there anything, I mean, now that you're not a fanatic about football anymore, is there anything else that still gives you that sense of belonging?
That's a good question. I have a lot of friends. So there's a lot of sense of belonging with my friends, with my family. I go to open mic nights. I go to live music. I follow certain bands. And that gives me a sense of belonging, following those bands and following the live musicians that I enjoy.
I guess the convenience of it was, it's kind of like church. Like, church is every Sunday. Football is every Sunday. So whatever's going on in the week, and get reminded that you do belong to a community.
Exactly.
So I remember when I saw the movie, it really, it touches on some very serious social issues, but it also, it was so optimistic and had kind of a sunny outlook. It almost felt like there were some of the uglier parts of racial tension that they purposely decided not to really go into. But so I'll read you this quote that Roger Ebert said about the movie. He liked it. He said, "Victories over racism and victories over opposing teams alternate so quickly that sometimes we're not sure if we're cheering for tolerance or touchdowns. Real life is never this simple, but then that's what the movies are for." So do you feel like, why do you think the movie works? I mean, if it tackles something as complicated as like desegregation and racial tension in a particular area of the country, but still does it in kind of a feel-good way, why do you think that still works somehow?
I think it still works because of, it's kind of a buddy movie. It's a buddy movie. There are these two players that connect, and they are at first enemies, and then they are friends, deep friends. And that works. And also, it has a really great soundtrack.
Yeah, I think it might not work if not for Denzel Washington. Because I've said before, like, I would watch him read the newspaper. You know what I mean? He's that good. Like, he has that much presence that he can take. I mean, there are a lot of speeches in the movie.
A lot of monologues, yes.
Right. And they could sort of maybe start to seem cliche, but somehow an actor of his caliber knows what to do with it to make it not seem that way. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, and I think part of the speeches are, you get a speech at halftime every football game, these players. And in real life, they do.
Right.
But the way in which he gives one of his first speeches, they have no idea a speech is coming. They have no idea where they're going. They go to a very early morning run and they end up on the fields of Gettysburg. These players who have just been fighting, not just in the dorms, but on the field, trying to form a team, but fighting with each other. And the mood changes after that.
So I work with kids, but I've never coached a sports team. I know that you have.
Yes, many years.
What's that like?
It's encouraging to see kids progress and start from nothing, not even know how to hold a ball, to being able to shoot a basket. And it's great to see them feeling proud of themselves. That's the best part. Especially when I coached special needs basketball, that was very rewarding and encouraging for me, because they don't get a sense of belonging really anywhere. And here on the court, they got to be the star. Every basket was a cheer. Every dribble was a cheer. Every pass was wonderful. And coaching little kids, which is what I did in town for quite a few years, it was great to just teach the basics and to make sure that they were having fun. Even when I coached middle school girls, sometimes I didn't even know the score, because I just wanted them to be having fun and enjoying what they were doing.
Right.
It's nice to make an impact in kids' lives. I recently ran into some people who were at the same bar as me, and they were at a reunion, and this woman kept looking at me and kept looking at me, and she finally said, "You're Coach Beth Condon. I remember you. You really cared about our kids." And I was taken aback, because her son is 34 now. I was very surprised, first of all, that she remembered my name, because it took me a few minutes to remember her son's name. But she remembered, and that made an impression on me. And that was just a few weeks ago.
Thank you for listening to Why This Movie. If there's a movie that you love that you'd like to discuss, you can email me at christopherallenmaloney@gmail.com or contact me on Instagram.